A Charles Parris mystery. Sicken and So Die, dramatised by Jeremy Front, from the novel by Simon Brett. With Bill Nighy as Charles Parris. Episode 4.
Hey, Joe. Where you going with that gun in your hand?
The wheels of the bus go round and round.
Until this morning, Francis thought that I was a paranoid actor with a persecution complex. The fact that the Twelfth Night cast had been dropping like flies was apparently a chain of unfortunate coincidences.
Swish, swish, swish.
But there was no denying the mercuric chloride the police lab found in my hip flask, or the fact that I felt dreadful and looked like Lindo Man on a bad hair day.
Hello.
It's me. How are you feeling?
There's a bloke here with a big purple head, and I'm absolutely sure I know him.
Now, listen to me, Charles. Don't panic.
The bloke I know's got tiny feet, and this one's wearing huge blue boots, but I'm sure I recognise the voice.
It's probably a side effect of the poison. Just stay calm, dial 999, and wait for the ambulance.
What ambulance?
You're hallucinating.
I'm watching the tweenies.
Why?
To distract my mind. I'm sure I know that actor. Have you ever seen them?
Maybe I should come back anyway.
They're very versatile, what with the singing and the dancing. Are you worried about me, Francis?
I'm concerned for your well-being.
So, you care for me. Admit it, you care for me, don't you?
I care for you just as I care for a helpless puppy.
It's more than that, I can tell.
I don't want anything bad to happen to you.
I do love you, you know.
I've got to go.
Why?
Scott's coming in to do a talk on environmental issues in contemporary Canadian literature.
I'd have come along, but it might clash with Fireman Sam.
Bitching already? You must be feeling better.
Yeah.
Scott was just a younger, fitter, better-looking, serious-minded, cleaner-living version of me. In time, Frances would see the error of her ways. I had the day free, so I popped in to see my agent.
Ah, oh, lovely to see you, Charles. Take a seat. Hang on, you'd better move those scripts.
Oh.
Thanks. Will you please answer that bloody phone? Sorry, Charles.
No.
Jody's off with a gastric thing, and the agency have sent me some useless work experience girl, so the entire office is crumbling about my ears.
Gastric things seem to be the order of the day.
Oh, you too?
Someone tried to poison me last night.
Well, who have you pissed off this time?
For the record, I happen to be one of the easiest going actors in the business. Ask anyone.
Just a joke.
Yeah, well, very funny.
You weren't serious about someone poisoning you, were you?
Of course I was serious. Why would I joke about something like that?
Have you told the police?
Well, they'll be at the show tonight.
Paying or house tickets?
What do you care? We're not on a box office percentage, more's the... Hang on. Have you invested in the show?
Oh, that's a good one.
Thanks for the vote of confidence.
Oh, you're very touchy today, Charles.
Yeah, I get touchy when someone tries to murder me.
I'll call the production company, see if I can put a danger clause in the contract and get you a bit more money.
Better still, get me a well-paid telly job.
Oh, you wouldn't like the glare of the spotlight living in the goldfish bowl. Look what happened to poor Sally.
So, you think she was murdered?
I was referring to her stalker. Here.
He tossed a red top across the desk.
Hoodie Loon killed Luther's cat. Sally's cat was poisoned.
Some grade A nutters out there, to quote Freud. So, you think there's some crazed poisoner running riot, do you?
Something like that. All I do know is that Sally's dead and someone tried to kill me.
You know the actor's maxim? Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you.
It's very reassuring, Morris.
You still want me to get you a high-profile telejob?
One thing at a time.
Yes. I'd stick to theatre if I were you. Much safer by far.
That was easy for Morris to say. He didn't have to face a potential killer.
Reasons to be cheerful. Part three.
One, two, three.
It was a sweltering afternoon when I arrived at the theatre, so I went out to the terrace bar where I found Talia Northcote all buttoned up in a full-length hooded dress.
Can I join you?
Grab a chair.
Thank you. Aren't you hot like that?
It's intelligent fabric with 100% UVA, UVB protection.
I suppose it saves slapping on the old Factor 60.
I'm wearing that too.
Oh, not one of nature's sun worshippers then.
I don't want to end up with skin like an old handbag.
I glimpsed myself in her wraparound sunglasses. There was a whole set of luggage on my face alone.
You know, there's like 69,000 cases of skin cancer diagnosed in the UK each year.
The risk-averse generation. They'll all live to 150 with perfect teeth, perfect skin and rickets.
Still, This isn't so bad when you consider we could be stuck in some airless office. Beats working.
Depends what you want out of it.
Acting?
Yeah.
What do you want out of it?
A bit more than non-speaking handmaiden and understudy.
You still pissed off that Alex gave Sally's part to Jack?
It's, like, so unfair.
We all get bad breaks.
Yeah, there's bad breaks, and then there's, like, hello, am I here or am I, like, the invisible woman?
You know what Alex is like.
Yes,
he's got this creative vision.
Oh, I know.
Don't take it personally.
I felt like a slap in the face.
It's just one part, and you're young. There'll be other breaks.
Yeah, but this could have been a big one, and I didn't even get a shot at it.
Talia's pretty face was now looking petulant, and I wondered whether ambition could turn it ugly.
I'm going to get my agent to see if the producers are in breach of contract.
Is that a good idea?
I was Sally's understudy. That part was mine by rights.
I know, but it doesn't always do to cross people in this.
But after all I'd done.
Did she mean all she'd done as an understudy? Or had she done something else to make Sally's part her own?
Thing is, like it or not, Jack Bradley's a telly name. And that puts bums on seats.
I wouldn't mind if he was a good actor, but he thinks he's God's gift. I know it sounds like sour grapes.
Well, we all get a bit sour sometimes.
Sally was also a telly name, and she was lovely. I mean, I, like, really admired her. And she was such a sweet person, which you can hardly say about Jack.
Talia seemed so genuine, I felt guilty I'd ever suspected her.
He thinks he's so great swaggering round giving people notes. The way he picks on poor Ben.
Yeah, he does seem to have it in for him.
Because Ben knows.
Knows what?
Oh, forget it. I shouldn't have said that.
Well, you can't stop now.
Apparently, Jack's got a serious habit, and I'm not talking prescription medication. Ben's even seen him doing it during the show.
What? Where?
Hiding in the bushes? I mean, sordid or what?
Hey, Joe. I said, where you going with that gun in your hand?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the 12th Night Company. This is your half-hour call. Your half-hour call.
Thanks to Alex's big concept, Jack and Sally had been sharing roles, so if she dropped out, Jack was most likely to get her part too. Sure, he had TV profile, but with Sally dead, he could pull off a theatrical tour de force. He also made a pretty convincing Viola. Was it possible that Sally's mystery stalker wasn't a woman after all?
Come in.
Someone for you.
Ah.
Hello, Charles.
Francis, what are you doing here?
I thought I'd surprise you.
Well, you've done that all right. I thought you were going to see the show when we come into the West End.
I was, but I've heard such great things I couldn't wait.
Francis.
Okay, I have been a bit worried about you doing the show tonight.
Yeah, well, join the club.
I've been thinking about the play. Doesn't Sir Toby drink a lot of sack and stuff?
Yeah.
Well, is that such a good idea under the circumstances?
Oh, you're absolutely right. I hadn't thought of that. Thanks, Francis.
Thanks, Scott. He thought of it.
Oh, did he?
He wrote a paper on Twelfth Night as part of his doctorate.
Yeah, of course.
Charles...
You're not serious about him, are you?
Remember the house rules. None of your business.
We're not in the house.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your five-minute call. Act one, beginners to the stage.
I'll leave you to it.
I really do appreciate your coming tonight.
There is something else I want to discuss with you, but it can wait.
Discuss?
A proposition.
I'm intrigued.
See you in the bar afterwards.
Yeah.
Music be the food of love. Play on. Give me excess of it. That surfeiting the appetite may sicken and so die. That strain again, it had a dying fall.
It wasn't easy, but I took Francis's advice and managed to get through my boozing scenes without actually swallowing a drop. Coming off stage, Ben Ritson came running up with that excitable, please love me look in his cocker spaniel eyes.
Charles.
Yeah.
Message from above. Can you stick around after the show?
Oh, I'm supposed to be meeting someone. What's all this about?
Search me. They just said no one's to rush off at the end and everyone's to gather on stage. Oh. Cast, crew, stage management, the lot.
Okay, I'll be there.
Ben didn't seem to know what was going on, but I had a pretty strong feeling this was something to do with the police and I didn't want to be upstaged by Inspector Dewar. I decided to pay a call on Jack Bradley in his dressing room.
Yeah? Hi, I don't want to disturb you, but I wondered if you knew we'd all been asked to stick around after the show.
Oh, great.
I think it's probably something to do with Sally.
Oh, not again. Well, you know the police are investigating.
Don't they always investigate unexpected deaths under odd circumstances?
Well, I suppose...
I just wish they'd bugger off and let us get on with the show. Don't give me that reproving look, Charles.
Well, I didn't know I was.
It was bad enough the tabloids running the story non-stop.
Well, Sally was young.
Ish.
She was also good-looking and a celebrity.
Past tense.
But she's still meat and drink to the papers.
Yeah. Unfortunately, not all publicity is good publicity.
Yeah, but if the police think she was murdered...
Murdered? My arse. Who'd want to murder Sally Luther?
Well, people kill each other for all sorts of reasons.
I know, Charles. I did a season in Silent Witness.
Jack was either a very cool customer or a much better actor than I thought. In an attempt to out-cool him, I shrugged defeat and headed for the door.
Jack, sorry. When did you first meet Alex?
Dunno. Maybe 5-6 months ago.
And did he mention the idea of doing Twelfth Night, then?
Well, I don't know. It was one of those get-to-know-you meetings my agent set up.
Your agent does things like that for you?
Doesn't yours?
I made a mental note to make sure Morris did in future. Then a second note to get the name of Jack's agent.
So, he wouldn't have mentioned the idea of one actor playing Viola and Sebastian?
It was months ago, way before this show was even on the radar.
I just wondered if he might have floated the idea.
Alex fires off ideas like a Kalashnikov. That might have been one of them, but if it was, I didn't think anything would come of it.
But then Sally died, and it did.
Why do I feel like I'm being interrogated?
Sorry. Too many hours sitting around dressing rooms reading P.D. James.
You're not suggesting Alex killed her?
I'd slightly ruffled Jack's feathers, so it was time to take a gamble.
Well, it's silly, really, but I admired Sally. I mean, some actors go completely tonto when the phone stops ringing, but she didn't. She just started again. She didn't even fall back on... booze or anything.
I fixed Jack with my eyes, but he looked away.
Why didn't you like Sally?
I didn't like or dislike her. I was indifferent to her.
But you took a pop at her at every opportunity.
So what? I didn't get on with Sally, so I killed her, is that it?
I didn't say...
You can't go around accusing people of murder.
I'm not.
Okay, you want the truth? No, I didn't like Sally very much.
Do you mind if I ask why?
Because she was a loser, and I was afraid it'd rub off.
Hardly a loser.
Maybe not in your book.
There's more to acting than fame and celebrity.
With all due respect, that's easy to say when you've never had it.
I suppose I asked for that, but Jack clearly had no due respect for me or anyone else in the company.
Every time I looked at Sally, it was like, there, but for the grace of God, okay? Now you know. Not very laudable, but the truth. Doesn't make me a murderer, though.
Can I ask one more question? What were you doing in the bushes the night Sally died?
Why the hell would I be in the bushes?
Somebody told me...
Oh, really? Who?
I can't say.
Oh, let me guess. Ben Ritson. You go around accusing people of murder on the strength of gossip from that little creep, you're going to end up dead yourself.
Is that a threat?
It's a warning. Now, don't take this personally, Charles, but would you mind sodding off? You better run for your
life if you can, little girl. I left with my tail between my legs and a feeling that I'd be better off sticking to acting. Still, I had one more idea up my sleeve.
Look where the youngest wren of nine comes.
If you desire spleen and will laugh yourself into stitches, follow me.
But I'd need cooperation from the police, and I still had to get through my first scene of the second half.
He's in yellow stocking.
And cross-gartered.
Most villainously.
Vivian had taken to milking this scene, so I decided to speed things up a bit.
I dogged him like his mother.
Bring us to where he is.
Bloody hell, Charles.
What
are you trying to do? Get into the Guinness Book of Records?
Oh, just giving the scene some energy.
Will you two please be quiet? Energy? You practically dragged me off the stage.
Sorry, Viv. I haven't got time for this.
It was a steamy, sweaty night. Not the weather to find yourself running in full costume and makeup, but I had to get to Inspector Dewar before my next scene.
Come in.
Can I have a word, Inspector?
Well, how do you know I was in this room, Mr. Paris?
The company manager told me.
Well, I'm glad I asked him to keep it to himself.
This is a theatre, not a Trappist monastery.
So what can I do for you?
I'm assuming it's you who wants to see everyone after the show.
Well?
Who else knows the police are here?
Well, I thought it was just you and the company manager.
See, I was thinking, maybe it's not such a bad thing if word got out.
You were you?
I'm not trying to do your job, Inspector.
We both knew that wasn't true.
But it occurred to me that if word got round that the police were in the house, so to speak, and that they were on the trail of a murder suspect...
The suspect might make a run for it.
That's sort of it.
And where do you see yourself fitting into this, Mr. Paris?
Well, I know everyone in the company, so if I were to join you after the curtain call, we could watch from a distance.
Like a giant identity parade.
Couldn't have put it better myself.
In the theatre, gossip spreads faster than an Australian bushfire. All I had to do was light the match. Whatever you do, don't let this get around. But I've heard the police are here. And they're going to arrest someone for Sally Luther's murder.
A great while ago, the world began with a hey, ho, the wind and the rain. But that's all one. Our play is done. And we'll strive to please you every day.
Everybody stay in the wings, please. You'll be called on stage as soon as the auditorium's clear. Where are you going, Charles?
Quick peas.
No, quick Scots, more like.
Thank you, Vivian, I heard that.
I had hoped to sneak out unnoticed. Too late now. I ran as fast as my costume allowed, past the bushes where I'd grappled with poor Sally, past the dressing room where I'd accused Jack of murder, through the rusty gate which we used as a pass door, and round to the Porter Cabin box office.
You all right?
Yeah. Do they train the police in CPR these days?
No, I was always better on the IT side of things.
Terrific. I'll let you know if my hard drive crashes.
Oh, it could be more useful than you think. Have a look at this.
He flipped open a laptop and turned the screen towards me.
They're a bit grainy, but these are the CCTV shots of Sally Luther's stalker.
Ah.
I could just about make out the shape of a woman, possibly blonde, but just as possibly black, auburn or brunette.
Yeah. Ring any bells?
It was like asking someone with cataracts to peer through net curtains at a stranger across a foggy street.
No.
Right, so much for technology.
We watched the last stragglers leaving the theatre. Sir Toby Belch's costume sticking to me with sweat and makeup.
Have you got officers posted at the stage door?
I'm not a complete idiot, Mr. Paris.
Sorry.
Time ticked away, and with every passing minute, I felt less confident.
Oh, dear.
More embarrassed.
Bum, bum, ba, bum, bum,
and
bum,
utterly convinced bum, that I'd ballsed up. Bum, 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 ba, bum, bum. A young woman passed by in an ultra-mini miniskirt and even shorter crop top.
I wouldn't let my daughter go out dressed like that.
No. How old's yours?
I haven't got one. But if I did...
Yeah. Mine's grown up. Not that she'd have listened to me. Trouble with being a father is, you know, the world's full of men like you.
Yeah, it's true. God, kids are fickle, though. I mean, look at that one.
Yeah.
I bet your life she wears next to nothing right through the winter, but it's the hottest night we've had all year and she's zipped up in her hoodie.
I looked at the young woman hurrying towards the main gate.
Aren't you hot like that?
It's intelligent fabric.
Who needs UVA protection at 10:30 at night?
Hey?
Come on. Hands in pockets, head down, she was walking at quite a pace towards the exit.
Excuse me, miss.
The second she heard Dewar's voice, she broke into a sprint.
Police! Stop! She's heading for the terrace bar. Right, I just leave this to us.
But I was already running up the steps, swept along on adrenaline.
Charles?
Oh, hi, Francis.
Are you okay?
A bit puffed.
Why are you still in costume?
Well, I'll explain in a minute.
Okay, Mr. Paris. I'll take it from here.
All right. Charles.
Did a woman just come through here in a hooded dress?
Yes, she nearly sent me flying.
Which way did she go?
I think she headed for the loo.
Right.
Dewar pushed through the crowd.
Where are you going, Charles?
I'll be back in a minute.
Charles!
As I approached the ladies, the door swung.
I told you to wait outside. Wasn't she in there?
No.
Must have escaped through a window.
That's too high and too small.
Well, she must be in the gents. Come on.
Where do you think you're going?
There's no other exit. Let's flush her out.
The window in the gents was also too high and too small. Dewar raised a finger to his lips, then got down on all fours to peer under the toilet doors. When he stood, he indicated that someone was in the furthest cubicle. I stayed back while he moved slowly towards it.
This is Detective Inspector Dewar. Please unlock the door and come out.
But before either of us knew what was happening, the door nearest me flew open. Ben Ritson hurled himself at me and locked a surprisingly muscular arm around my throat.
Okay, let's just calm down.
Well, keep that, you!
All right, no one's coming near you.
Oh, excuse me, get him off!
Shut up, Charles! I've had just about enough of you.
Little Ben Ritson wasn't as weedy as I thought, and he jerked my head sideways with a powerful twist. Then I felt something sharp against my neck.
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Hey, now, steady on now. Steady on.
Third time lucky. What's the line, Charles? Now Mercury endue thee with leasing. Come on, join in. For thou speakest well of fools. Oh, you can do better than that. Or do you need someone to do a line run with you?
What do you mean?
I know what you and Sally got up to.
Oh, we didn't get up to anything.
In her dressing room.
No, hardly.
Hidden away in the bushes.
Even less.
I was there. I saw you.
You just saw what you wanted to see.
Well, what I want to see now is Charles Parris dying painfully.
This place is completely surrounded. There's nowhere for you to go.
With one arm half strangled and a syringe scratching my epidermis, I hoped Dewar's negotiation techniques were better than his IT skills.
Sure, you can kill him, but you're not going anywhere.
My hopes were dashed. I could feel the tension in Ben's body as he tried to work out his next move.
Okay, Dewar, this is what we're going to do. You're walking out of here first, nice and slowly, no sudden moves. We'll be right behind you. And remember, I've already killed once.
Dewar looked more scared than me as he edged past us, and with Ben's needle perilously close to my carotid artery, we followed him.
Everybody keep back! We're coming out, but I want everyone to back off! Anybody moves, he dies. Right. I want everybody out of here. And I mean everybody, including...
Quick, Charles, grab it.
Everything moved fast and slow in the same moment. I grabbed the syringe and Francis's friend Scott pinned my assailant down with a judo hold.
Where did you come from?
The toilet.
Did the needle break your skin?
No, I don't think so.
I looked round for Dewar. He was leaning against the bar, looking pale and shaken.
Here you go, Inspector. You'd better take this for evidence.
Actually, I'd better not. Oh, no.
My luck to get a needle-phobic policeman.
I have to admit, when I saw that boy coming out of the loo with a syringe held against your throat, I thought only Charles could piss someone off that much.
Thank you, Francis.
Wasn't Scott amazing?
Oh, stop it.
But you were, wasn't he, Charles?
Amazing.
I didn't know you could do judo.
I never thought I'd need to use it. I just acted on instinct.
Yeah.
Tell the truth, I was more scared when that cop banged on the loo door. But then that other guy went completely crazy, so I thought I'd just stay put.
Well, I still think you were incredibly brave.
In case you'd forgotten, I was the one with the needle against my
throat.
He was
hungry. I could murder a curry.
Unfortunate choice of phrase.
Great food. Last time I had an Indian meal, Ben tried to poison me and Ken ended up in A&E.
So, your affair nearly killed Ken and ruined my soft furnishings.
I didn't have an affair. Tell her, Scott, you heard him.
No, I'm not getting involved.
Ben was fixated on Sally. He'd stalked her. He even killed a cat. Once he convinced himself we were having an affair, he was hell-bent on killing me. Unfortunately, he was pretty inept. He ended up injecting Sally by mistake.
Oh, come on, you were having an affair.
I would not.
But the more I protested my innocence, the less Frances believed me. That was the trouble with our relationship. She'd heard it all before. In the end, I was relieved when Scott diplomatically changed the subject.
We, really enjoyed the show.
Oh, good. You should have told me you were coming. I'd have got you comps.
Oh, no. I wouldn't have heard of it. We like to support the arts as much as we can.
We like to support the arts. I didn't like the sound of that we.
If you'll excuse me.
Sure. I watched Scott's man of the world backside as he swaggered after the gents.
Actually, this is probably a good time for that conversation.
Conversation? What? Oh, the proposition.
The thing is, it doesn't look as though your flat's going to be in a livable state for quite a while.
I do keep phoning the landlord, but he never picks up.
Well, this is what I've been thinking. You've been paying me rent anyway, so I was wondering if you'd want to put the arrangement on a more permanent footing.
Permanent?
Obviously, you may have other plans, which would...
No plans. Yeah, absolutely. Permanent sounds good to me.
I mean, if I'm going to have a lodger, I'd far rather it was you than anyone else.
Lodger?
More house sitter, I suppose.
Sorry, I'm a bit confused.
My fault. I haven't been very clear.
I'm taking a year's sabbatical.
Right.
It's a terrific opportunity.
Sure. Sorry, for what?
Teaching, travelling, seeing how things work in another country.
Which country, exactly? I needn't have asked. I know it's none of my business, but don't go to Canada. They have terrible winters. It's incredibly...
You don't know anything about it.
Nor do you.
All the more reason to go.
France is...
It's only a year.
A lot can happen in a year.
Yes, we'll both be a year older, but I'll never get another opportunity like this.
I couldn't argue with that.
I think I might order another beer. Anyone else?
Twelfth Night did transfer to the West End, where it ran for 6 months and won Alex and Olivier. It got me a small part in Holby City. Frances emailed last week. She met Margaret Atwood at a book festival and Scott took her moose hunting. Frances, not Margaret Atwood. Anyway, she'll be back in no time. Frances, I mean, not... Still, it's amazing how quickly a year can pass.
Such a lot of good ways to be bad, and so many bad ways to be good. Haven't paid my rent yet.
In Sicken and So Die, dramatised by Jeremy Front, Charles Parris was played by Bill Nighy. Francis, Suzanne Burden, Ben Ritson, Tom Lawrence, and Jack Bradley, John Cummins. Scott was played by Ryan McCluskey, Vivian Marlin, Elizabeth Bell, Talia Northcott, Alex Tregear, Morris, John Glover, and Inspector Dewar, Kim Wall. The director was Sally Avens.
Well, my love is at the foot of your hand, come what may. But if June comes first, please won't you take me away?